this stuff is all practical. It has to be, or I'm just not interested in it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Did I offend anybody? I did? How many? Ooh, that many. I better backpedal fast. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zunder. No, I refuse to backpedal. This stuff has to be real. Okay, I'm going to admit something to you. This is going to be tough. All right. I don't enjoy reading the Bible devotionally. There, I said it, didn't I? I don't. I read like People Magazine devotionally, or I'll read, what else will I read devotionally? I don't like comic books. One of my favorite authors is Henry Miller, so I will read Henry Miller devotionally, but I haven't in a while. The Oranges of Hieronymus Bosch, that's a great Henry Miller novel. Also, the trilogy, the Rosy Crucifixion series, Sexus, Plexus, and Nexus. Anyway, I'm off the topic just a little bit, not really. But the Bible's just too hard. I don't enjoy these... Oh, jeez, I'm getting myself in a hell of a hole here. It's not relaxing to read the Bible to me anyway. I have to know stuff. I read the Bible because I need to know something. So I don't just sit down and say, well, I got to put in my 15 minutes a day. Some people are impressed that I know so many Bible verses. Well, I don't memorize anything. Back in my early, early days in the early 80s, I would memorize verses, but that's ridiculous. I don't do that anymore. That's just an exercise in vanity. Like, I know all these verses. The only reason I know any verses at all is because I needed to know them because I had a problem, or because I had a question, or because I needed to know God better. I needed a relationship with God. Now, people think, I told you on Monday that I bicycled across the country. Was that Tuesday? Oh, well, whatever. Bicycled across the country, people say, oh man, you must love bicycles. No, I can't stand them. I don't like bicycles. I hate working on them. I used to hate cleaning my bike and fixing the chain and all that stuff, but I liked the adventure. You see, and the bicycle was just a tool for this adventure. I could bicycle across the United States and meet new people, see new things, see a lot of dead animals, roll over a lot of hot tar, pop those tar bubbles. That was exciting. I liked that. I could camp in the middle of cornfields and wake up with spiders all over me and flick the slugs off the top of my rainfly. I loved that stuff. So in order to do that, I needed a bicycle because a car wasn't working. You zoom past those slugs at 60 miles an hour, and you just don't appreciate how wet and gross they are, or you don't really appreciate what it's like to sleep in a cornfield in Iowa after bicycling 150 miles in one day. So the bicycle was an instrument, it was a tool, and the scriptures is that for me. So you see, I used to hold my Concordant Literal New Testament precious. I have a Concordant Literal New Testament that I've used since 1986, and it's got all my notes in it, and it's like this wonderful possession of mine, you know. So, but I don't care if I have it or don't anymore. I'm on my second Bible. And do I have an emotional attachment to it? A little, but not a lot. If you saw my bicycle, it's in the garage here. My bicycle from the 1980 and 1984 transcontinental bicycle trips, it's sitting in the garage with rust all over it. It's a piece of crap. Because I never really cherished the bicycle. It was a vehicle to an experience. And likewise, for me, Scripture is a vehicle for an experience, to experience God. And it's not easy to read. And I only read it when I really need to know something or want to know something about God, about my calling, about how great He is, about how wrong the standard issue teachings are that mess people up so bad and make them want to kill themselves. Oh, speaking of that, there's a few of you folks out there who are planning on killing yourselves and actually have the instruments at your disposal to affect this thing. And I'm telling you this, for one thing, I have told you this before, I don't know why a million people a day don't kill themselves in this eon. It's the keeping power of God, of something, of this inherent intuitive knowledge that God must be good in spite of what the clergy tell you. But I'm just saying, don't do it. Don't do it. I've wanted to do it too. I told you folks that in December of last year, I had a heavy-duty metal letter opener over my heart and pushed it in an eighth of an inch. And yeah, I understand, believe me, but don't do it. We're almost out of this thing. We are coming out. We're getting so close to the snatching away. It would be tragic to do yourself in now when the good stuff's about to start. I know it's a shortcut to the snatching away. That's a friend of mine. That's one of his favorite sayings. It's a shortcut to the snatching away. You remember that Woody Allen movie, Annie Hall, and he's talking to that lunatic. I forget who plays that guy. This actor plays a bunch of weird people. And he says, when I drive down the road, I just have this sudden urge to turn my car into oncoming traffic. And Woody Allen says, excuse me, but I'm due back on planet Earth. I love Woody Allen. I don't know. Can you imagine Woody Allen at the Great White Throne? What am I doing here? I thought I loved God. I mean, everything was so difficult. I hated death. I mean, God, you did such a good job of hiding yourself. And now I'm at this Great White Throne. Are you kidding me? I mean, you really didn't give me much information. All these crazy Christians thought they knew what they were talking about, and I knew they were morons and idiots, and how do you expect anybody to understand it? I went to the synagogue. I'm a Jewish guy, and everybody taught me all the crazy stuff you have to do, and I mocked it my whole life. That's because you never understood the truth. Nobody ever told you the true God, Woody. That's right. I never understood the real God. Why didn't anybody ever bring me to real God? Well, because I don't know. It just didn't happen. You're not called. I'm sorry, but you're doing a good job. You make some great movies. I loved Annie Hall. It was so epic that you beat out Star Wars for the Oscar in 1976. I don't really write movies to win awards. I know you don't, but you just won a lot of them anyway. So congratulations. Keep it up. See you at the Great White Throne. Or go to martinzender.com. But anyway, what was I talking about? Anyway, the Bible's a tool for me, a tool to find out about God. So if you have trouble liking to read the Bible, especially the concordant version, because the wording is so awkward, and I get frustrated with that too, so don't worry about it. Let's just be honest with one another. And yet, this is why teachers are helpful, because I sweat this stuff, and I go through this stuff, and then you can just hear me talk about it and get it. I point out certain verses to you, and you're happy. That's what teachers do, and I'm happy to play that role in your life. I guess it's fun for me once in a while. I want to do this for you. I have to do it. Woe to me if I don't do it. So back to Colossians. Paul's rejoicing in the faith of those people, those residents of Colossae. And there was a day, he said he's marveling at their fruit, that they're bearing fruit in accord with their faith and their expectation of their reservation, according as it is among you from the day on which you hear and realize the grace of God in truth. I'm just going to read this whole thing, then comment. I say, as I comment, according as it is among you from the day on which you hear and realized the grace of God in truth, according as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful dispenser of Christ for us, who makes evident also to us your love and spirit. Let's go on to verse 9. This is important. Therefore, we also, from the day on which we hear, do not cease praying for you and requesting that you may be filled full with the realization of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, you to walk worthily of the Lord, for all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the realization of God, being endued with all power in accord with the might of his glory, for all endurance and patience. These alls are important, which is why I'm verbally italicizing them. All power in accord with the might of his glory, for all endurance and patience with joy. At the same time, giving thanks to the Father who makes you competent for a part of the allotment of the saints in light. I'm going to stop there. Ah, shoot. I hate to do it. That's verse 13. All right, one more sentence. Who rescues us out of the jurisdiction of darkness and transports us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's a figure of speech there called prolepsis, calling what is not as though it were. So let's go back here. The day on which you realize the grace of God in truth. It's not enough just to believe in God. Why do I say that? Because Satan believes in God. Of course he believes in God. Okay, well, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, Satan believes in Jesus Christ. You have to believe Jesus Christ is Lord. All right? So far, Satan's in the body of Christ. There's got to be a distinction. And there is. The day on which you hear and realize the grace of God in truth. That's verse 6 of Colossians 1. The day on which you realize, that's coming to an understanding. To realize something is a mental exercise. Sorry, but it is. I'm not saying it's not inspired by the Spirit, because it is. And yet the Spirit is working through a mental process. But Martin, what if somebody's born without a brain? Well, they're not saved then. And you can take back your baby bonnet and your booties, because they're not going to survive long without a brain. Although some of them are in church. No, never mind. Apparently a lot of them survived. The day on which you realize the grace of God. Now, that's something Satan does not realize, because Satan is convinced that we have to work for salvation. I think he thinks that. I don't think Satan can today imagine that anybody gets anything for free, because he's so pushing his doctrines in the churches that you have to earn your salvation. So I told you the day I realized that God chose me ahead of time and that I was no different than anybody else. That was a sobering realization, that I would have been Adolf Hitler if it hadn't been for God invading my well-walled world, all my defenses, my self-righteous walls. And he scaled those walls, took a battering ram to them like he did to the Apostle Paul. And by the way, the Apostle Paul didn't fall off a horse or a donkey. It doesn't say he fell off anything. It just said he was blinded. He fell to the ground. Just a side note there. So you realize the grace of God in truth. So that makes this an even finer thing. You have to realize the grace of God. I say you have to. You do have to. It's just the fact that you will. I'm going to go to Romans 10 here in a second if I have time. Holy Moses, I'm getting down to the wire again. You have to realize the grace of God in truth according as you learned it. Oh, these terribly unspiritual words. Realization and learned. You learned it from Epaphras. Oh, I know this guy, Epaphras. This guy, he works at the convenience store in his spare time. You're telling me that this information I got from Epaphras is vital to my Aeonian life? Yeah, it sure as heck is, because of Romans chapter 10. How then should they be invoking one in whom they don't believe? And this is, we're tying this in. This is related big time to Colossians. You have to believe. You will believe. You will believe because you're chosen to believe. Remember Romans 8, whom he designates beforehand, these he foreknows, these he calls also. And the calling involves believing, Romans 10, 14. And the believing involves getting information, Colossians 1, learning it and realizing it from a guy as common as Epaphras. Is that the guy's name, or was it Epaphroditus? Oh, whoever it was. And then the question again, very applicable, apropos here in 10:14 of Romans. Yet how should they be believing one of whom they do not hear? This goes right back to Colossians, the day on which you hear. Martin, what if somebody's born without ears? Then you got Braille. It's a figure of speech in a sense. You can use Braille, or you can be like Anne Sullivan and Helen Keller, wah-wah, wah-wah, wah-wah. You can fold your fingers up and put your hand in the wah-wah, and you can get that idea. Somehow it's communicated. If you're born without a brain, then you're going to have trouble. You have to join a church in that case. Yet how should they be hearing apart from one heralding? This has to do with Epaphras. Is that the guy's name? I really need to know this. Hang on. I got to go back. Is this Epaphras? Yes, Epaphras. So how should they be hearing apart from one heralding? In this case, in the case of the Colossians, it was Epaphras. But where did he get it? He got it from Paul. Where did Paul get it? From Jesus Christ. Where did Jesus Christ get it? He got it from God. Yet how should they be heralding if ever they should not be commissioned? And this is why Paul is adamant and quite detailed over and over again, really, that he was commissioned. He was sent. He was an apostle. And then, according as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those bringing an evangel of good. And I'm telling you this much, it's necessary that someone bring you an evangel of good. It's part of the process of Romans chapter 8 that we discussed yesterday. Okay, I'm going to continue on this tomorrow because I'm having fun with this. I hope you're learning a lot. This is a nuts and bolts thing. But don't forget, it's inspired by the Spirit. God is doing all this, but it's being effected, and we're seeing it as the rubber meets the road here on the great highway of life. Glad to be on this highway with you, and we'll be driving down it again tomorrow.